Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Gas. Recording. Give it a couple seconds. Beats playing. Oh, there's a beautiful dog bark right in the middle. What is up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of PSO NBA edition.
Oh yeah,
the playoffs, and look who I have with me. We got the Pasty Prince.
Oh,
the return.
I haven't been called that in a while.
I know. I've been throwing out the nicknames because Nathan's Nasty Nate now, so I had to bring back the Pasty Prince. Caleb, how the hell are you?
I'm good, man. The playoffs have been kind of awesome, so I'm very ready to talk about them.
Oh, they've been popping, and I've been, you know, I'm itching. I can't talk about basketball by myself. Nobody wants to hear me just talk to myself in my studio apartment.
Nate doesn't have all the basketball knowledge.
No, not really. He's out there. Nathan has the knowledge to piss me off. Like, he knows just enough to, he knows what I know.
Okay.
So he just says the opposite of it. So
that makes sense. You need a little balancing out anyway.
Yeah, I do. It humbles me, if anything. Caleb, you want to do the honors?
Yeah. Follow us on PSO Sports 1 on Twitter and Instagram, and Pointless Sports Opinions on everything else. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Anchor, apparently not for long, not trying to spoil anything, but, you know.
And we might be making changes.
You know, and Chase, you might be able to talk a little bit more about this, but the socials have been a little bit more active recently, huh?
Hell yeah. Yeah, we finally put a real social media guy on there instead of having my ass like, oh, okay, I'm just going to post a pod. Fuck this. Nathan's been going hard on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, so... I mean, if you like polls and, you know, you like, a sports site that's interactive, Nathan's on top of it. Like, it's top tier. I've been enjoying all the content he's been putting out.
Yeah, go interact. You know, he's, go send some replies, you know. It's all good stuff.
Out there.
We'll talk to you.
He a little too football heavy, but then again, so is the whole podcast. So, let's get into the fucking pod, dude. I'm ready. Let's get into our section of the pod here. Celtics-Bucks. 1-1.
Yeah, baby.
The Celtics, just a little rundown. They swept the Nets round one. Did you expect that at all?
No, but get him out.
God. Get them out. Get the fucking broom
get
out.
Get him the hell out. I've seen enough of Kyrie. I've seen enough of KD. I've seen enough of Ben Simmons' outfits. Get him out.
His pregame dunks that aren't even that good.
Get him out.
I was walking down the streets of New York in my Celtics hoodie for a week after that, and my goodness, I was the biggest heel. I was like Ric Flair out there. People were booing me. You know, there's little kids telling me to go fuck myself. It was great, and I didn't give a damn, because, yeah, good sweep in round one. Yeah, Bucks gentlemen sweep over the Bulls. Bulls have been a rough team all year, or kind of second half of the year, at least. Kind of put them out of their misery. Lonzo, he was out too.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and the Bucks are they're a pretty damn good team.
That was like,
but they did have that Middleton injury.
Yeah.
Middleton out the whole round two. That's a big injury. Marcus Smart's out now too. But the Bucks winning the game one, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I turned that game off because I was sick of my stomach.
Oh no, I was also sick, but I watched it. I suffered through it.
Giannis just absolutely demolished us in every aspect. It kind of reminded me of, you know, every year we've played Giannis where he just destroys us. And then all of a sudden, I'm not going to talk about game one that much. I'm going to talk more about game two. All of a sudden, game two, you know, we got the defibrillator out and we got it right on the Celtics nuts. Just brought them back to life. I loved it. I loved every bit of it with no Marcus Smart too. No Marcus Smart and Devin White got into foul trouble.
Wait,
too?
Wait, like, whoa. Devin White?
Shit. Derek White, right? Oh, Derek White.
I didn't know who you were talking about.
The podcast, we may change host. We may add new people, but I will still fuck everybody's name up no matter what the sport. You should have heard the NFL draft pod.
I did.
Good Lord.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I heard it. Yeah. I heard the last one you put out, and you were also talking about how you screw up names. But yeah,
I always do.
They rolled game two. They got up by a lot, and then the Bucks just, they can never come back. But I don't know, dialing it back a little bit to the Bucks first round series. Like, I don't know, everyone, there was a lot of overreaction to game one of the Celts Bucks, as there normally is. You know, you see the first game, you're like, holy shit. You know, you want to panic. But, you know, The Celtics played horrible in game one. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They were not good. They missed all their threes. They were shooting way too many threes. It was like, we're going to dribble into threes. We're going to make one pass and chuck up a three. I think they made like 10 two-point field goals. It was like a franchise low for you know, the Celtics of all time. That was terrible. And, you know, everybody panics, but you know, then you sit there and you think, you're like, okay, well, the goddamn Bulls, they took a game off the Bucks, so like, this isn't over by any stretch of the mean.
Yeah.
And you know, the Celts come out game two and they look insane and they make all their shots, and we got ourselves a fucking series here.
That's right. I'm excited for it. I'm pumped. Jalen Brown, my goodness,
how
that
about
guy?
It?
I loved it. I loved every bit of it. I tweeted I wanted him to have my kids. Yeah, huge flip.
He was awful great defense. Game one. He was terrible.
Great defense on Giannis. Everybody played great defense on Giannis. He only shot 40% in game two. I mean, he still scored 28, but I mean, it doesn't matter if you're taking all the shots and you're missing them, you know. Grant Williams, we need to make just like an overall most improved player. That dude deserves it just as much as everybody. I mean, Jordan Poole's probably number one for me for most improved player, but Grant Williams, I'd put him above Ja for most improved player. That dude has completely changed his trajectory. I did not like him for the last, what's he been with us, 3 years now?
Yeah.
Or 2 years? Something like that. I think this is his third year. He's lights out from three-point range now. He's one of the most reliable shooters that we have on the team. And on top of all of this, they won without Marcus Smart, and they only played seven players, basically, the whole game. Daniel Tice didn't play. They were rolling seven guys out there that worked their ass off and played great defense, and they shut down the Bucks. Shut them down.
Yeah, no, you absolutely love to see it. You can't talk enough about Grant Williams. That guy's just been phenomenal. Like you even touched on the three-point shooting. I don't even – like, that's a big part of why he can stay on the floor. But, I mean, I don't want to undersell what he's doing on defense. Like, this guy is coming off a series where he absolutely shut down Kevin Durant. And now he's going up against Giannis, who is the best player in the world. And he's making insanely hard. Like, Giannis is not having efficient games.
No.
I think he had 2 points – until like a few minutes left in the second quarter in game two. And then he
there's at one point he was, what, 2 for 12 or some shit?
Yeah, it was rough. Something crazy. And then, you know, he Giannis did have a big second half, but the deficit was just too much to overcome. But yeah, Grant Williams, I mean, good Lord, man. Like, if you know, that was a must win game as well. Like, you can't you can't open the series and lose both games at home. Like, you're done after that. So, you know, to come out without Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year, and you don't really even lose a step on defense, like, that just, you know, it speaks a lot to what this Boston team can do on that side of the floor. And that's going to be, they're going to make it super hard on you. You're not going to get good shots, or you're not going to get open shots, I guess you could say. And they're going to make you uncomfortable. And, you know, Grant Williams is flying around. He's defending Giannis. He's contesting threes. Al Horford looks like it's his third year in the league. I don't know if they're giving him steroids or what, but keep doing whatever you're doing. Like, that guy looks bouncy. He's also doing a great job on Giannis.
Rob Williams back too. That's been big.
Yeah, he's been really good, especially since Tice is somehow on ice now. I don't know if we're gonna see much more of him. but yeah, no, that game two, like I said, it was a must win. Grant Williams was phenomenal, and I was scared shitless. I'm gonna be honest with you, going into that game without Marcus Smart, I really was scared.
Yeah,
mainly because you know he does his thing on the defensive side of the ball, but good Lord, man, they need a player to handle the ball on this team. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want Derek White and Peyton Pritchard handling the ball all the time. Like, I need Marcus Smart to take it up the floor and they get it into the flow of the offense. And, you know, Jaylen Brown handled the ball a lot, and I don't think he missed, like, I think he was like 7 for 7 or something. He had like 25 in the first half. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a doozy, man. It's going to be a battle. The first two games, you know, obviously we had a little seesaw, and that always, you know, in my personal opinion, is the makings of a great series when one team can, you know, they play super well and they get a big win, and then the other team plays super well and they get a big win, because all of this stuff is going to come together for both teams. And then, you know, that's when we get into the latter half of the 6 and 7 game series, and, you know, you get some legendary moments. So I am very, very excited. I'm very, very scared. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm pumped. A more efficient game from Tatum as well. He kind of shot, I mean, everybody shot bad in the first game, but, I mean, he had 29, 8, and 3. I think we're talking about the coming out party of, I guess we weren't. I was. The coming out party for Jason Tatum was round one against the Nets. Like, he finally is like, hey, like, I'm taking this step. People are started. There was a little murmurs that he was taking a leap over Kevin Durant in the rankings. I don't know if I agree with that, but he's making some big strides. And now you got Jaylen Brown, who, in my opinion, right now in the league is the most underrated player. Has to be. It used to be Gobert, but now Gobert's getting destroyed on screens and switches and shit. It just ain't working. But Jaylen Brown not making All-Stars, it's pathetic at this point, because that guy, he shows out. He's great on both sides of the ball. You talked a lot about the defense. Udoku, he needs all the credit in the world. Like, yeah. This team, the one thing that they never had, and they showed it in game one. That was the Celtics I was used to seeing in the playoffs. You know, once they played a really good team, they just get destroyed by the best player. But this Celtics team came out game two, and that's who the Celtics team is now. Udoka gave this Celtics team the nuts that they needed. You know, they're not little kids anymore. They got big swinging nuts, and they went out there and they swung them right off the face of the Bucks.
No, I couldn't agree more. Udoka has been, you know, I mean, he's at the forefront of all the success. Like, he's
holding people accountable,
and yeah,
you know, he's getting into guys. I love it. You know, and who would have thought that this team, that's really what they needed? Because most teams get coddled nowadays. Udoka's calling people out. Like, you ain't stepping up. Like, he's been doing this since the beginning of the season. I never thought, like, if you told me at the beginning of the year that the rookie head coach that we have would have a coaching advantage over Budenholzer, I wouldn't believe you. But I think it's there. I think they're right on par with each other coaching wise. So, Do you think this series is going to go seven? What do you think?
I do. I know, you know, we're saying this after the fact it's already started, but I think it's going to be Celts in seven. I don't see how. I don't know. It's going to go six or seven. There's no way it ends before that. Like I think these are the best two teams of the East. I don't think that's a hot take. I think the winner of this series goes to the finals. We're going to talk about that next series in a minute, but they have their fair share of issues. And, you know, we've barely even talked about Middleton being out. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's been big, too, for them.
He would have really helped them last game. And, you know, it's the playoffs. And, you know, the Celts didn't have Marcus Smart as well, but they've been, like, super, super, super healthy. And, you know, as you said, they only played seven guys, which, you know, you can play eight. And then if Marcus Smart comes back, you're playing nine, but you can't go any deeper than that. So it is imperative that the Celts stay healthy, because the end of that bench is a wasteland, and I am not kidding.
Yeah.
There are some dudes that you've never heard of that go out and wear that Celtic uniform and are cheerleaders, and God love them. But, you know, it is imperative that this team stays healthy, and, you know, they are very lucky that the Bucks don't have Milton. Drew Holiday has been a demon. That guy's a pain in the dick to play against. Like, he just makes, you know, I was talking about guys bringing it up the floor. Like, Drew Holiday's just going to make that hard. He just makes the easy shit hard. And he is really, really good, and I don't think people will realize that until, you know, you see him in, like, big-time playoff series like this. Because that guy can score 12 points or, you know, less or whatever, and he could have had a huge, huge impact on the game. Just from the other stuff he does on the floor. But, no, I think it will be Celts in seven. I think, you know, the big thing about the Celts is, like, they are so consistent defensively. Like, you know that's going to be there. You know, night in and night out.
You think by now, if they were an older team, I feel like they would have ran out by now. Like, they remind me of kind of like the 08, 09 Celtics teams, except they're 23 and 22 years old. You know, they're not 30 years old veterans. Like, these guys, like Rob Williams is shutting people down. Like we said, Grant Williams, you know, the Williams duo. And then you got Brown and Tatum. Tatum, huge leaps on defense. It's been incredible, and oh god, I love that defense. I love it so much.
Tatum's making a push for the best two way player in the league, and I don't think that's crazy to say anymore. And you know, you even talk about Derek White, who is just basically preying on offense. Like, that guy has he just can't put it in the basket. But he plays with pretty good effort on defense. So the whole team is very good defensively, and you know what you're getting night in and night out. Like, every night they're going to bring it defensively. So if they can just stay disciplined on offense and don't chuck shit up and, you know, get good shots and throw that ball around like we can see them do, then I think they can win. I really do, and I think they can go to the finals.
Game two, the ball movement was just incredible. I mean, they had that one sequence where, you know, it was just getting passed around, and then Tatum found Horford for a wide-open layup just because they were slinging it around. It went around to everybody. Everybody touched the ball. And it's led to a lot of open shots. You came at me last time we were on the pod, and you said that I don't have enough hot takes anymore. And I looked in the mirror that night, and I thought about it, and I was like, what the hell happened to you? You know? So I'm going to go out here with a hot take, and, I mean, it's not really that hot. But Celtics are going to win in seven. I'm putting it down in paper. Celtics are winning in seven. I think it's going to come down to the fact that Milwaukee was trying to duck Brooklyn. And guess what? Brooklyn wasn't even nearly as bad or nearly as good as we thought they were going to be.
The only sweep.
Yeah.
The only sweep in the first round was Brooklyn. And they were running.
Everybody's avoiding this Brooklyn team. You know, Milwaukee's not playing their starters. Like, all this other stuff trying to get away from Brooklyn. Like, what the hell is this?
Brooklyn,
you
know,
Brooklyn, it was horrible. And I guess what? I think it's going to come back and it's going to bite Milwaukee on the ass, because Game 7 and Boston Garden, there's no chance in hell that Milwaukee's winning that, especially with this Celtics team. So I think I'm going Celtics in 7 too.
All right, don't throw the no chance in hells at me. That's where we start getting a little
hot. No, I'm throwing no chance in hells. I'm getting hot.
Unfortunately, Giannis is on that team, so there's always a chance. But honestly, I think that's why they played so bad in game one, is because they just did whatever the hell they wanted the last series for four games. Like, they were getting good shots. They were shutting people down. And, basketball karma, you love to see it here, because Celts will have game seven at home. And, you know, if they ran from the Nets, then they wouldn't have, and they'd be in a lot worse of a spot. But, yeah, no, you're right. I think it's Celts in seven. I don't know. I don't know what else we could talk about with this series, but if you want to talk about it for the rest of the podcast, I can do that.
I mean, we could. Let's talk about Jason Tatum's post-game interview. I'm just kidding. let's go on to, in my opinion, I think this one's kind of the least... never mind. It's pretty entertaining. Sixers Heat. Heat. Or you have it. 1-0 Sixers. It's 1-0 Heat. Yeah, the Heat are up.
Fuck, I did.
The Heat up 1-0. Quite frankly, that game was... They had it in hand the whole time. No Joel Embiid, as stated here in front of me. Miami did. They handled Atlanta. Trae Young, ice cold. There's nothing they could do, really. I mean, this
Trae was ice cold?
He wasn't ice, but his team was ice cold. There was really nothing this Atlanta team could have done. No Capella. John Collins is, he was injured the whole series. Miami just rolled through him. Sixers beat Toronto after I thought it was going to happen. I thought they were going to blow a 3-0 lead. You had all the recipe. You had Doc Rivers. You had James Harden. That's all you need to tell me for a 3-0
blowing lead experts.
But they went out in game six. They kind of, whipped their ass, which, usually this would be like, oh, look at them silencing the critics. But no, it didn't really feel like that. It kind of felt like, oh, well, they're just going to lose next round. to me, at least. Joel Embiid got hurt, too, as well. Orbital fracture. Those are rough, from what I've heard. I've never had one.
Yeah, that's not good. I would not enjoy playing basketball with a broken face.
Yeah, no. And there's a torn ligament in his hand, too. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, he's been playing with that for, the last few weeks. He needs to have surgery on it. He's just playing through the pain.
And you can't really play through the pain with an orbital fracture. Like, that's not like a hamstring. Like, you move your face at all, it just is demobilizing to some people. He's not going to be playing game one or two, and it's kind of up in the air for the rest of the series. Oh, and that first game, Miami just destroyed him. James Harden, he's not... I do give him credit that he's not taking as many shots as he has been, but he's taking less shots.
What are we doing? That's not what we're doing.
Then you got the trick or treat of Tyrese Maxey. He's gonna be the third member of the big three. It's James Harden, Maxey, and Joel Embiid.
I like Maxey.
You never know what you're gonna get with him. He only had 19 points in the first game. DeAndre Jordan.
Garbage.
He's getting 17 minutes. Did you see his plus minus?
No.
Minus 27. They're giving up 27 points more when he's on the court. 27. That's insane. That's like my rec league numbers.
He's back.
Oh, God. This team is... what chance in hell do the Sixers have?
Okay, so... There's a lot to unpack here. Number one, Joel Embiid needs to get back.
Yes.
If he doesn't get back, I don't think they win a game. I think they get swept out. And I'm not kidding. You saw them first round. They were kind of farting around with Toronto. They were up 3-0. Then they dropped two games, one at home. And it's just like, what's going on? Like, do we not care? And then Joel Embiid... shout out Doc Rivers again. He's in the game on the clincher when they're up 30 and gets elbowed in the face.
Yeah, now what the hell is broken? Why? Why was he playing?
Now his face is fucking broken, and he's missing the first two games of this series. So you're rolling the ball out there with goddamn James Harden and Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris, who have combined won absolutely jack shit together in the NBA playoffs or apart. And it's just, it's not going to happen. I'm never going to put my faith in a James Harden-led playoff team or a James Harden-led team, period. I'm just not going to do that. He's over the hill. He's past his prime. I think he could maybe reconcile like the second half of his career if he turns into like a point god. And, you know, I think he had one game or a couple games last series where he had like over 10 assists. And I think that's what you need out of James Harden at this point.
Yeah, he had a 15-assist game at one point. I think in the clincher. Yeah, he dropped 15 assists.
That's what you need out of him. But without Joel Embiid, I think they have literally no chance to beat the Heat. And the Heat are beat up too. Like Jimmy Butler's battling injuries, and Kyle Lowry's battling injuries
all season too.
And you know, I don't know. I have much more faith in the Heat. They went to the finals. Granted, it was in the bubble, but this is a lot of the same dudes. You know, Tyler Hero's a year older. He won Sixth Man of the Year. Shout out to him.
He's a big guy off the, like, he's reinvented himself off the bench.
Max Strus, all of a sudden, he's like a good player now. You love to see that. And, you know, this Heat team has guys, and they're going to come at you. And Spoelstra won't let it happen otherwise. You look across to the other bench, and it's James Harden staring into headlights with Doc Rivers at the wheel.
Shake
and it's
Milton?
Just like, okay, like, this is not good. So I think they play tonight. Today, what's today? Today's May 4th. They play tonight. I think they probably lose tonight. And if they can't get Joel Embiid back for games 3 and 4 with a mask on, I think it might end in 4 or 5 in favor of the Heat.
I just don't see a situation where the 76ers win the series at all. Tobias had maybe his best game of his playoff life. He had 27 points, and he was hitting a lot of shots. And they lost by 14, and were losing, like, the whole damn game.
Yeah.
Like, it does. And, like, James Harden's not going to give you, you know, he's not going to give you 50-point triple-double anymore. I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast, and they were talking about when the last good game that James Harden has had. And it maybe was the second game after he got traded to the 76ers. He hasn't had a good, like, really good scoring game in a long time. And like you said, he's more of an assister now. He's a great passer. But, you know, I just don't see a situation where they don't have the defense to shut down a Hero. You know, even Jimmy Butler getting 15 points is crucial at this point, just because you get three guys getting 15 and one guy getting 20 on the other team, you're going to fucking win. I just think there's just too much defense and not enough offense on the 76ers. The thing is, we're talking shit on DeAndre Jordan. Who else are they going to throw in there? Paul Millsap? Millsap's not going to do any damn good either. His plus minus is going to be probably in the same boat. They just don't have enough scoring, in my opinion. And Miami's also got a chokehold on defense. This is still, you know, the Spoelstra-led Miami team. Yeah, I think if I had to put money on it, I'm going Heat in 4.
Wow, the sweepski.
Yeah, bring out the broom. It's going to be a quick one.
I hope the Sixers can drag it out at least a little bit, just because, you know, the other one is going to go far. So, and there could be some casualties.
Hey, who knows? Sometimes too much rest is bad. We've seen teams that come out flat.
Yeah, that is true. You know, like the Celts, you know, they swept and had a few days off, and then they got skunked in game one. But I don't know. I tend to agree with you. Especially if they don't have Joel Embiid, I mean, it's just not going to happen. But, you know, if Embiid comes back and, you know, this guy almost won MVP this year. I guess they haven't announced it, but it's probably going to be Jokic. But, like, you know, this guy is, like, one of the best players in the NBA. It just is unfortunate that he's on this team. And I think people thought they were going to be a lot better. And I don't know. I don't like the optics. I like Joel Embiid. I don't really like much around Joel Embiid. So I think the Heat roll here pretty quick.
Yeah. You mentioned the Suns. The Suns beat the Mavs in game one. They're up 1-0 right now. They beat them 121-114. Luka, or I shouldn't say the Mavs. The Suns played the Doncic's. Jesus, at 45, 12, and 8. I mean, this he does absolutely everything. But the Suns just look like they have just too much depth. Booker's back. I didn't know when he was going to come back, but he came back. He looked pretty damn good. Almost had a triple-double. He was hitting shots. Chris Paul, I mean, in the clincher was perfect. Like, he's right in a hot hand.
Incredible game. Like, historic Chris Paul game. Like, one we will talk about for a while about Chris Paul. And it's funny because people say he's not clutch and shit. And it's just like, this guy went perfect. 14 for 14 in a clincher. It's just like, all right, guys.
The only thing he's not clutch about is injuries. Like, that's the only thing that has derailed any part of his career has been him getting hurt. And now he's healthy. Booker's healthy. Remember when I said DeAndre Ayton was going to be good? Do we remember that? Because I remember that, and I got ridiculed for it.
No. Stop. You stop it right there. You said he would be better than Luka. That's what you said.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's what you said. Nobody argued
I don't know about that.
DeAndre Ayton is a beast.
He's really good, and he's going to get a fat contract. I am excited for this series. I think the Mavs can, compete with Phoenix. Jalen Brunson, he's been picking it up. He didn't do that good in game one, but he's really, turned around, been playing a lot better, showing that he can be a scorer. Kleba off the bench, he's lights out.
Yeah.
But it just feels like this Mavs team just doesn't.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Have enough firepower. I don't know what remember when Dinwiddie was damn near 30 a game at one point?
On the Nets,
With the Nets. What happened to that? And now he's only getting eights and tens. I thought he was going to be a lot better for the Mavs, and at first he was. What do you think about this series so far?
I just want to say, I'm pretty impressed with the Mavericks. Luka's really good. Obviously, we all know that.
And their coach is Jason Kidd.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you right now, he's been really good.
He's been coaching great.
They are in this position largely because of him, because this roster didn't change that much. They're just playing a way that they should play, and it's a lot of Luka ISO ball, and these other guys are hitting shots, and Jalen Brunson has been nothing short of spectacular. That guy's making himself money every time he steps foot on the court, but. The Suns are too good, man. I think this one will be over quick as well. The last game ended up being close, but the Suns were up 25 or something, and then they were just in closer mode, and I don't even remember what the final score was, but the Suns pretty much rolled.
They beat them by 7, but they had it the whole game.
Yeah, but I think the Suns wrap this up, and probably I think Luka gets one. I'll give him five. Five games, Suns in five. But
I think I'll give him two. I think Luka can go out and he dropped 45. He's getting triple doubles. I think if we get a Luka 45 and Jalen Brunson, goddamn it, just get 20, please.
yeah,
or something like that. I think they could pull out and maybe get six, but it'd be like a, you know, Phoenix has a 3-1 lead and they lose, you know, game five, and then all of a sudden they win game, you know, game six. Yeah. It's not gonna be anything really close. I just think the Suns team has so much depth. Like, look at the box sheets. Watch them play. Now they have chemistry too on top of it. I think, oh man, especially if this team, which I think they're going to make the NBA Finals, and I think they have a really good shot at winning it. I think this is going to be like a Devin Booker coming out party and a Chris Paul, hey, you've deserved this ring more than any other NBA player type moment. But yeah, I think the Mavs can maybe pull out two, but I think it's safe to say five. That's a good bet.
The Mavs need another dude. Jalen Brunson's really good.
Maybe a 7'2" guy that used to play for the Knicks. You know, maybe that guy.
That used to play for the Knicks?
You don't remember Kristaps Porzingis?
Oh.
They need Porzingis back.
No, he's duty.
I'm just kidding.
They need an actual dude. I think they're a little too ISO heavy with Luka. I feel like the offense falls asleep sometimes. And, you know, I think he gets past that. And this Suns team, I mean, I don't know if people understand, like, they've literally been the best team in the NBA. Like, we can date it all the way back to, like, you know, you remember when they were playing regular season games in the bubble?
Yeah.
Like, I think they were, like, 8-1 in those games.
And yeah.
They almost made
the playoff.
Yeah, they didn't end up making it, but they've literally been the best team in the league ever since that point. And it's kind of wild, and I think they're just too good. And maybe if the Mavs were going up against the Grizzlies or the Warriors, maybe this would be more competitive. But I think that the Suns roll. And, you know, maybe, you know, who knows? There's going to be some upset stars in the offseason. There always is. You know, maybe the Mavs get one of the Jazz guys. Maybe they get Gobert or Mitchell or something. And, you know, next year.
I think Gobert would be a good fit. They got good defense. I mean, the Mavs are playing good defense this year. They were, you know, top of defense efficiency this year. Who would have thought that a Rick Carlisle Mavs team compared to a Jason Kidd Mavs team, and Jason Kidd's got them playing better defense? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's weird, but, you know,
2022, Jason Kidd's better than Rick Carlisle, and I'm getting laid. What the hell's it's all messed up.
I think it's gonna all end here in a minute. I mean, we might get hit by a giant comet or something, but I don't know. This is dangerous playoff experience for Luka. I think the league might pay for this in a couple years when he is just shitting on everyone. But Suns roll. I don't think we need to talk anymore.
Yeah. The next series, which is other than the Celtics-Bucks, I love this series. Warriors-Grizz. It's tied at one apiece. It's got everything you'd want. It's got Jordan Poole. It's got Ja Morant. It's got Jaren Jackson for 15 minutes until he fouls out. It's been wonderful. They're punching each other in the face. They're breaking each other's arms. This has been all over the damn place.
Yeah. No, it's been spectacular, to say the least. Game one, Jordan Poole. I mean, if we don't know about him yet, you're going to learn. Because this kid is good. He fits right in. He's like the perfect Warrior. He had 31. They were tight the whole game. Ja missed the game-winning layup, which, you know, was defended by, I think, Steph and Clay. Clay looks good. Do you think he, like, I don't know. I feel like there's still something missing there. Like, he's not like the Clay we saw on their championship runs. But I honestly don't know how much that matters because they have Poole now. But I think what they're missing the most is, like, the way he can move his feet defensively. Because I think ideally they would have put him on Ja Morant in this series, and that just can't happen. I don't know who you can put on Ja Morant. And honestly, it might be Gary Payton, the third or junior, whichever one he is. And they just took him out. So he's probably going to miss the rest of the playoffs because Dillon Brooks tackled him on a layup.
Tried to murder him.
Broke his arm in half. Not actually, but I think he did fracture his wrist or his elbow or something. And he's
everybody was talking shit on the Draymond play in game one, which I really didn't think was that bad. This Dillon Brooks thing was fucking bad.
Yeah,
that was bad. Draymond got so much more shit than Dillon Brooks did for that just because he's Draymond. I hate that.
Yeah, and Steve Kerr, like, made, like he said it in the in-game interview. He was like, that was dirty. And then in the post-game interview, he was like, yeah, that was dirty. Like, he just, like, tripled down. And, yeah, Draymond gets all that shit because it's Draymond. But, you know, I don't know. Also, I feel the need to mention that I had the point spread of Warriors minus two in game one. And
nice.
Klay Thompson went to the line when the Warriors were up one and missed two free throws. I don't know if he did it on purpose or what, but I ended up not covering on that because Klay Thompson decided to miss two free throws. Jaren Jackson Jr., you mentioned he is in foul trouble constantly. He is. He had a phenomenal game one. He had 33-10. That guy's an issue, especially when the Warriors go small, and he does need to figure out the foul stuff. Jaws had 81 points through two games. He had 47 points in game two. 47 in game two. Like
47-8-8. Like he's doing a lot.
It was absurd, and he talks his shit, and he is just. I mean, he's just primetime television.
You want a hot take right now?
Yeah.
I'll give you a hot take. I'm tired because Ja Morant has been compared to Derrick Rose. Ja Morant is much, much better than prime Derrick Rose ever could have been. He's much more clutch. Whoa. Derrick Rose was going out against Miami, and guess what he was doing? He was scoring 20 points on 23 shots. He was turning the ball over a shit ton. Ja Morant is doing everything for this team, and he's hitting shots. He's hitting threes. He's not that consistent, but he hit five threes in game two. You're not going to get that very often from Ja Morant, but I just think Ja Morant is 10 times more clutch than... I know Derrick Rose had an MVP, all this other shit. I think Ja Morant is a safer and better version than Derrick Rose. This is what everybody wanted with Derrick Rose. I think he's an improved version of him. And you know what? I'm not even really that big of a Ja fan. I don't like the Grizzlies. I was hoping that they would be bad so that they could move to Seattle, but it's not looking like that anymore with Ja Morant hanging around. But yeah, there you wanted a hot take. Ja Morant is better than prime Derrick Rose, and that's talking about right now. He's not even peaked yet.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah, I like that take.
Thank you.
He's the modern day Derrick Rose. That's pretty good.
Modern day better Derrick Rose.
So what are we doing with the most improved player award? What are we doing?
Why is he on there? Why was he in the list? Why?
He won it. He wasn't on
why
the list.
Why did he win the award? That's so stupid.
I don't know. My cousin Andrew, he's like, he decided he was going to attach himself to the Timberwolves because he loves Anthony Edwards. So he was just ragging on the Grizzlies all last round. And he was like, Ja Morant, I told him Ja Morant won most improved. He's like, what? He goes, Ja Morant's not even the most improved on his team. And I don't know. True. I think that could be true. Like, Desmond Bane is, like, that dude now. Like, he is really good.
And you got guys like we said, Grant Williams. You got guys like him. You got guys like Poole. Jordan Poole is arguably going to be, you know, the replacement for Klay coming up here soon.
Poole wasn't even top three. Did you know that?
That's insane. That I did not know that. No, I didn't see the voting for most improved.
Yeah, he wasn't even nominated. He like wasn't even top three.
That pisses me off.
So I don't know what we're doing with that award. But I don't.
Ja went from 1C to 1B, most improved.
And like, yeah, he got better. For sure, he got better. But is that what we're gonna do? Like what?
You know, us got Devin Booker got better. Jokic, he's about to win MVP again. Give the MVP and most improved.
Yeah,
he improved from last season.
That's literally what I was going to say. Like, oh, he won MVP last year, but he had a better MVP year this season. Let's give him most improved. It's like, all right, like, what are we doing?
Giannis had a better year last year. They should have gave him most improved last year, too, for doing this stupid shit.
Yeah. So I don't know what we're doing with that. The Grizzlies have been, like, kind of inconsistent, or at least they were in round one. That Grizzlies-Timberwolves series, that was drunk. Like, I didn't know what was going on in that series. Like, the Timberwolves were just blowing leads. The Grizzlies, like, Ja Morant would have games where he, wouldn't shoot. Like,
The Timberwolves blew two 20-point leads in one game.
In the one game.
Didn't that happen?
Yeah,
that happened. In one game. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that probably doesn't happen too often, but I don't know. I'm very excited to watch this series. I think the Warriors end up taking it, but I honestly, like, I'm not guaranteeing that at all. Like, I don't, like, feel super confident. Like, I think the Grizzlies are a bad matchup. They're much more physical than the Warriors, and, you know, the Warriors might not be able to get away with going too small. You know, when they had, like, the death lineup in the past, all those guys were good defensively. Jordan Poole is not good defensively, and the Grizzlies figured that out last game, and they started attacking him, and he only had 20 on offense. You know, I say only 20, but when you're not getting a nuclear game out of him and he's giving up buckets on the other end, it's like, okay, like, how do we combat that? And then they don't have really anybody that can stay in front of John Morant, like I said, with Gary Payton checking out probably for the playoffs. So, I don't know. I think the Warriors win just because, you know, championship pedigree, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green. Draymond Green's played very well. He has a lot of haters.
Six points, 7 assists, and 10 rebounds. And this guy, everybody was saying he's done and the most overrated player this entire year.
Yeah, I never understood
this
that.
This is why you pay him. I don't get it anymore.
People who say that don't watch basketball. Like, if you want to know, like, if someone watches basketball or not, ask them their opinion on Draymond Green, because that'll be telling. But I don't know. I think the Warriors win. I think this is going to go long. I'll say Warriors on 7. I'm very excited to watch this. This and the Celtics, Bucks, that's like, it's going to get me through this round. I thought we could have some real snoozers, but, man, I think we're going to – we got some good playoff basketball this year. We're pretty blessed.
Yeah. I'm going to do a little zag here. You know, you're zigging, I'm zagging. I'm going Memphis in 7.
Okay.
I think that we're kind of getting to the point. I don't think Poole is to the replacement level of Klay. Klay, I mean, he's doing all right. Like, he's doing all right, but defensively, he's just not what he used to be. You know, he's not that guy anymore. If Jaren Jackson can stay on the court, I think this Memphis team is better. Dylan Brooks, you know, despite trying to destroy people's arms, he's great defensively, you know. Desmond Bane, as you said, you know, he was one of the most improved players on the list. And then you have, you know, Zaire Williams. He's starting to step up a little bit, too. Brandon Clark.
Zaire Williams had a great game, too. Sorry.
Yes. Brandon Clark is a guy that I would want on any playoff team I'm in.
He's awesome.
A guy that's going to punch you in the mouth. That's a guy that's great defensively and will give you 10 points. I like Brandon Clark a lot. He's feisty. I just think there's a lot of guys on this Memphis team, and I think we're finally reaching the point where the Warriors were at the tail end of their championship window with the crew that they have. And, you know, Wiggins will go and show, like, his potential for a quarter or two, and then the last two, you won't see it. You know, it's just too spotty. Steph, I love Steph. He's one of my favorite players. I just don't think he's at that point where he can do it all by himself. And, yeah, I like you said, with Jordan Poole giving up too many points, too. Like, I love Jordan Poole, but you're scoring 20, you're giving up 24, you're not doing very well. So I'm going Grizzlies in 7. I think this is going to be, you know, I think they're going to get swept in 4. By Phoenix in the conference finals, but I definitely think that this is going to be like Ja Morant's Trae Young moment, if you may, or if you will.
You know who can really change the series is Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, Kuminga's been he's been a low key guy too. Golden State draft so good.
That kid is a freak. I don't know if you've watched him a lot, but. The Warriors like really haven't had a guy like that other than like Kevin Durant that's just like super athletic. Like that guy, like he had a fast break dunk last game, just like a two-handed dunk, made it look super easy. He took off from like many feet outside and just jumped over someone, and I was like, holy shit. So if he can play more, because he's going to have to play more, like Gary Payton, him being out, like somebody's going to have to pick up those minutes, and I think it's going to be Kuminga. I don't know where else they go. Maybe Damian Lee, but I don't think that'll last long. But if he can play well, and if he's giving you – it seems like he's a smart basketball player as well, because a lot of times those super young athletic guys, they've made it that far off of their athleticism and off their ability to just jump over or go by people. It seems like he's like – he's got a pretty good mind of the game. And, you know, I'm saying this
good IQ.
Of, you know, like, I haven't watched him a ton, but he looks like he's not uncomfortable in these playoff games, which is a lot more than you can say about a lot of these guys. And yeah. I don't know, if he can step up and if he can play well defensively, and, you know, he's going to give you stuff offensively, he's just going to get baskets because he is who he is. And like I said, he can jump over you and, you know, he'll hit an open jumper. But if he plays well, I think the Warriors have a really good shot. But I am not underestimating the Grizzlies at all. I kind of like your pick. I like the take. But I do think Warriors take it.
Who would you rather have in a Game 7, Jonathan Kuminga or James Harden?
Is DeAndre Jordan on the team?
Yes. Both teams.
Kuminga.
He cloned himself to ruin two teams at one time.
I'd rather have Kuminga.
I would rather have Kuminga too. Okay. We got a lot of good takes, a lot of good series.
Yeah.
We haven't gone through the awards list yet.
Yeah, I just kind of threw those at the bottom. We don't have to talk extensively or anything.
Yeah, just a quick little run through because yeah, we haven't talked about it. Hey,
who won Defensive Player of the Year?
The best defensive player of the past three seasons. That's who. Marcus fucking Smart. I couldn't believe it. I was like, he's not going to win it. They're not going to give it to him. And then the murmurs got a little louder, and he finally got the credit that he deserved.
The Celts PR campaign came through. It's like the last couple months they were like, hey. Guys, Marcus Smart's really good at defense. And then all the voters are like, hey, I think you're right. And he fucking won it. And this guy, let me tell you, if Marcus Smart started a religion, I would be first in line to sign up.
Yeah. Prophet Caleb, Prophet Chase, sign me up.
Marcus Smart, you know, from afar, or if you're not a fan of his team, you're probably like, eh, you know, he flops a lot, he complains, whatever. Marcus Smart is just a guy you fucking love to root for. And he is genuinely one of my favorite Celtics, like, ever. Like, I will remember him forever just because of the way he plays. He doesn't have to score to make an effect on the game. He's taken a step up as a point guard this year, and that has genuinely been one of the biggest reasons why they have been so phenomenal since January.
He averaged seven assists in the first round of the playoffs against the Nets. That he just distributes. Ironically enough, he wins Defensive Player of the Year and maybe his best offensive season. I don't like gag when he shoots threes anymore. He's, you know, I'm fine with him chucking it.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely there with you. It just shout out Marcus Smart, bro. I couldn't brag on that guy enough. If Marcus Smart has, you know, no more fans, I'll still be one. So he'll always have me.
Hero, sixth man of the year.
Yep.
He was lights out. Did you see the little argument that was going around on Twitter that he shouldn't win sixth man of the year because he has too many minutes?
Did
you see that?
Whatever. I mean,
have you looked at the average amount of minutes of sixth man of the year? They're all like the 37s, 38s.
Yeah.
You know,
does he come off the bench? Then he's a fucking sixth man. Like, what are we doing? Yeah, no.
It doesn't matter if he gets more minutes. Yeah.
I'm jealous of the Miami Heat for having Tyler Hero because that guy's really good at basketball, and I just love his game. If I could model my game after like a basketball prototype, it would be Tyler Hero. So yeah, he's really good.
I'm picking Draymond because I'm kicking people in the nuts. as we talked about, Ja, most improved, horrible, shouldn't have happened.
Ja's really good, guys. It's not even Ja's fault that he won this.
Like, I can't wait till LeBron wins it next year. they make it in as an 8 seed. LeBron wins most improved.
Yeah.
Like, come on, get out of here with that. Monty Williams, coach of the year.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I mean, that's, you know, they were consistent.
How about Udoka? Not even top three.
Yeah, that's stupid.
He's like the only rookie coach ever to get like 50 plus wins or something like that. Or something crazy, and he's not even top three. I think we might have screwed up some awards this year, NBA.
Yeah, who's
What's
voting?
Going on?
Who'd they get votes to here? Lakers fans? okay, that's enough. We're close to the hour mark. So, final thoughts, Caleb.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want.
So, you know, I don't have much here, but – as a sports fan, as a baseball fan, as a Cardinal baseball fan, as a man who watches Paul DeJong play shortstop every fucking day and go up to the batter's box with the wet noodle he calls a bat, I just don't understand why Nolan Gorman is not on the Cardinals yet. You can't make sense of it. You couldn't tell me anything that I would be like,
it's the Cardinal way.
You couldn't tell me anything. I'd be like, oh, yeah, you're right. That does make sense why he's still in the minor leagues. He has more home runs. If you take Arenado off the Cardinals, he has more home runs than our entire team, I'm almost positive, in the minor leagues. He's played like, he's got like a million RBIs. And Paul DeJong fucking sucks. I'm sorry,
he's
Paul
bad.
DeJong, but you are bad. You have not been good in 3 years. I don't understand.
He fell off when he stopped talking to that one girl that went to her school.
Yeah, that was his breaking point, I guess.
That was my brother's breaking point too. she ruined two careers.
I think your brother's had a couple breaking points. Sorry, I shouldn't say stuff like that.
Oh, no. If anything, he's had a good redemption. He's been working his ass off, so I'll give him credit.
We love that.
I'll just give him
shout out to Chad.
Shout out to Chad. Chad's a good dude.
And I don't know. We're at the point where the Cardinals don't want to give up his shortstop glove, which I get. He is good in the field. I'll give him that. You know, I'm ragging on him for being a terrible batter, because he is. He's a very good defender. And I genuinely think the infield that they have now, it's the best defensive infield in baseball. And if you bring up Gorman, he's probably going to have to play second or DH. And then Tommy Edman's probably going to have to move over to shortstop. And that does make you worse in the field. It does. But God damn it. I can't take any more Paul DeJong hitting under 200. I just can't do it. He's batting 129.
Mm.
What are we doing? He can't hit his weight. Is that half his weight? Like, what the what's going on?
Yeah, it's close. It's close.
Give me Nolan Gorman. Please, God, give me Nolan Gorman. If he sucks for a month, then send him back down. But Jesus, let's just get a look at this kid.
Over under how many months it's going to take for them to call him up. I'm going at least 3 or 4.
I don't know, man. We just got into May. I mean, he'll
be
up.
He could bet 460, and I don't think they're calling him up. We take so long to call up all these guys. Carlson was the same way.
I mean, he'll be up in September, so, like, he will be up for that, unless he's dead.
Hey, don't say that, because we've had that. We've had problems with
that. Oh, my God.
don't jinx that shit.
But I don't know. I honestly think it has to happen. Like, if it doesn't happen by July, I don't know what we're doing. I just don't know what we're doing. I don't know. They finally called Yepes up today. He had 2 doubles, 2 for 3, 2 doubles. We won 10-0 today.
They roped the Royals.
Over the Mike Matheny-led Kansas City Royals. So I think they actually lost the series. But I don't know. I'm just frustrated with the Cardinals shortstop. And it doesn't help that the rest of the team is not, you know, Dylan Carlson's not hitting very well. Tyler O'Neill's not hitting very well. You just need some life in the lineup. And, you know, I think the guy just absolutely raking in AAA could help.
It makes too much sense when it comes to the Cardinals. If it makes too much sense, they don't want to do it. You'd be proud of me. This is the most baseball I've watched this year. I lost $100 betting on basketball last season. And I'm up 50 betting on baseball this year already.
I'm
making
that.
So much money on baseball. It's insane.
I'm watching a lot of baseball as well. It's been fun.
Who would have thought adding the DH instead of having some dude that doesn't get paid to hit makes the game more entertaining? Who would have thought?
Well, shit. We can't figure out a good DH. I mean, thank God we have Pujols, because Corey Dickerson.
Yeah, at least he's entertaining.
Corey Dickerson ain't got nothing.
He's living up to his name. Okay, my final thought is a repeated one, but I haven't done it with you.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw this, but a viral tweet went around. It was, and it's typical. I'm sorry, I'm going to go on a little I hate LeBron rant. This is another reason why I hate him, is his fans. You guys are all horrible and pieces of shit. This horrible, horrible take came out, and I want to hear your opinion on it, where I'm sure you saw it. With the guy, like, it's a picture of the dude with his hands up, and it's like, hey, I'm just saying, LeBron beat this Celtics team.
Oh, Christ.
LeBron beat Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. The exact tweet was he beat Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Al Horford. And that thing had over fucking 100,000 retweets.
Okay, those people are idiots. 100,000 of you that retweeted that are fucking morons.
And nobody. I looked so, like, through the comments, everything. Nobody saying how dumb of a fucking take it was. Nobody. If anything, people that I follow were retweeting it. Saying how it was true.
Well, that was Tatum's rookie year, right?
Tatum's rookie year.
And Kyrie was hurt, right?
They went seven against LeBron.
Seven.
Against LeBron James. Tatum didn't even have a hair on his nutsack. Jaylen Brown was year two.
Yeah,
like, come on.
It's actually borderline pitiful, that take. That literally makes zero sense. LeBron, how many years ago was that? Five? Four?
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? And we're comparing it to the team that we were seeing now? Like, that is not the same basketball team. It's just not.
I'm just saying, Josh Allen, he beat Mac Jones last year. I think he could have beat Tom Brady and Randy Moss. He's beaten the Patriots before. Like, shut the fuck. That's a horrible take. Horrible take. And it should not have even seen the light of day. Over 100,000 dipshits agreeing with it. It made me nauseous how many people liked it. And I've given up on NBA Twitter. I think NBA Twitter is hands down the dumbest breed of human beings on the face of the earth.
It's a great place, though. You need stuff like that.
It's a great place. Oh, so entertaining. So entertaining. It's like watching Desperate Housewives. You hate it, but at the same time, it's really entertaining.
No,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what even... What are we supposed to do with that? Like, I hate even giving those guys the time of day because it's just like all LeBron fans.
I had to. They 100,000 likes on that.
That's crazy.
You know?
It's all LeBron fans, and, you know, they're delusional as is, and I don't know. I'm as big as LeBron guy as anybody, and that is just crazy to say. Like, that is crazy.
I was actually waiting for you to humble me and be like, oh, no, it's not that bad, but thank God that I'm not losing my mind.
It doesn't
I was
make
losing
sense.
My mind. I wanted to retweet and just say so many horrible things about it, but I'm like, I got 300 followers. Nobody's going to see my shit, and then I'm going to get ratioed by a 7-year-old Fortnite player. Like, I'm not doing this.
Think about how much your life has changed in the last 4 to 5 years. Think about that.
Yeah, true.
So this basketball team is just the same?
It's the same.
4 to 5 years. Like, it doesn't even make sense.
4 years. 4 years. And, oh, hey, he beat it. He beat that team. Okay. Caleb, you know what to do.
Spread the word.
Spread it.
I almost forgot what to do.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.